we want to more encourage people to come. But everybody on Zoom is able to hear? Ellie? Okay, good. Okay, so just a couple of quick comments regarding the yesterday's topic before we move on to today's topic. And again, we're just trying to speed as quickly as we can to get to Daf Daled and back to the main topics. But again, Pata Below Klum, sure, we do want to speak a little bit okay, about some of these issues. So yesterday we were discussing, basically, the idea that the halachic day is complex. Everybody is certainly aware of that. You know, wherever you go, whatever you do, everything depends on times. You know, whether it's a Shabbos and Yom Tov, in and out, or Zman Kriya Shema, or Zman Tfila, or, you know what the Rav is called meloses, you know, like the melos of a Yoledes and so on. Anything that requires counting requires that we have an appreciation and understanding and a proper halachic way of measuring, you know, day, night, morning, afternoon, evening. And those are different things. That's really what I want to impress upon you. As well as the transition from one day to the other. So one would have thought that there would be, like, you know, a very simple formula which would determine, you know, what what is a day, what is a night, and what is a transition, you know, and so on. And again, the complexity comes already from the beginning of Bereishis, literally, when the Rabbanu Shalom created the world, and he said Yehi Or, you know, and he was Mavdil Bein Ha'or Bein Ha'Choshech, and then he created, the celestial bodies, including the sun and the moon, you know, the Ma'ar HaGadol and the Ma'ar HaKatan, and they too, you know, yeah, after the Torah on the one hand tells us that, you know, Or was called Yom and Choshech was called Laila, and it also says that, we have that in our Gemara too, that the Shemesh was there to serve, you know, during the day. And the Levana, Yireach, you know, Balad. So, can most people hear? Yeah? Not bad? Okay, I can try to speak a little louder. I just can't do much louder without, you know, moving, you know, let's say losing whatever progress I've made. So, this, of course, you know, is a fascinating question. And then the fact that we are constantly encountering conflicts in the halacha, you know, is, of course, further evidence of that. Again, the obvious ones being more Alos HaShachar and Eitz HaChama, and their parallel, Shkias HaChama and Tzeis HaKochavim. But as I already mentioned, you have also Plag HaMincha, you know, in there for good measure. And, you know, in addition to that, we have other parts of the day, like Chatzos and Beinu Arbayim, you know, Boker, Erev. So it becomes clear that, you know, they're, you know, it's theoretically complicated. So that's kind of what we were discussing a little bit on Sunday, right, to try to understand, again, the impetus in terms of our particular sugya was the you know, fact that the Gemara here weighs, you know, whether or not day is defined only by Tzeis HaKochavim, right, or, you know, even earlier, when it starts to get dark, as opposed to it being dark, and similarly, whether day begins only when it's light or when it becomes light. The formulation, as we discussed already, that until Tzeis HaKochavim it's Yamama, and the parallel but less rigorous formula or less demanding formulation in Megillah, you know, that that it's not night until Tzeisa Kochanim. And then all the conflicting evidence about what depends on Shkia and what depends on Tzeis becomes part of the story. And of course, part of that is the massive debate about Bina Shmashos and Laila, etc., which we're familiar with, the view of Rabbeinu Tam, the view of the Urayim, right, the view of the Gaonim, you know, and the Gra, and so on, and some other nuances as well. So, basically, in all of this, I guess the takeaway, and again, more specifically in our sugya, in addition to the question of Tzeis HaKochavim, is two things. Number one, Tosis's question, and that is, it seems like, you know, it's dark well before Tzeis HaKochavim, al pidin, according to sugya and Shabbos, especially according to Rabbi Yehuda, 3/4 mil or 2/3 mil after Shkia, as well as the local, very important Shita of the Ravid, where the Ravid says that with everything in the end of the day, you know, Lashon Maguna, you know, and so on, the use of the term or to refer to evening, right, also has a substantive component, and that is the fact that we want to begin, you know, Be'od Yesh K'tas Or. That's the Ravid's Shita. And the Ravid's application, had it been limited to Bedikas Chametz D'Rabbanan, would have been one thing. The fact that it also applies to Dinei Yoledes and to Nosar and so on, which are Dinim D'Oraisa, so that certainly escalates everything even further. And just the question is, like, just how do you explain phenomena and the exceptions, you know, to the rule? Similarly, for Rabbeinu Tam, as we already discussed, who has a later change, you know, this day goes later for Rabbeinu Tam, it's a very remarkable thing. It can be dark outside, you know, pretty much, and according to Rabbeinu Tam, the day persists for most things. Well, he didn't even for Shabbos. It's Erev Shabbos, you know, when it's practically, it's dark outside, basically, according to Rabbeinu Tam. And it is, of course, Shabbos, you know, when it's still dark outside. Either way. And yet, according to Rabbeinu Tam, right, the Shkia Sachama does play a role in certain halachas. Dam, Nifsal, Shkia Sachama, right, the Pashtus refers to real Shkia Sachama. And that's certainly how the Bali Tosis in Menachos and in Zvachim, right, understood it. So assuming it isn't just a Din D'Rabbanan, which is one day, according to the view that it's D'Oraisa, so that's just a very remarkable idea. Now again, it isn't technically difficult to understand. I mean, it's the sun has gone down. So you know, it makes sense to think that certain Dinei Yom might depend on that. But the question is, how does it fit in with everything else? It's interesting to note, because I don't want to spend more time on this. Again, it's a massive, massive topic. We could spend a few weeks on it, but we're just spending a few more minutes. That's why I'm running through it. But, you know, there's a whole interesting discussion. You know, do you see the Rabbeinu Tam, Halacha Dam, Nishka, B'Shkia, Sachama? You know, it's kind of just a Gzeres HaKasuv. Or even for Rabbeinu Tam, maybe it signifies, you know, an acknowledgement and a recognition that astronomical Shkia, we'll call it, you know, plays a role. So, for example, some of the Achronim in Sugyas and Zvachim and Menachos are Mefalpel, like what would be the din of Shechita according to Rabbeinu Tam, right? Or other such, Matirim, let's say, you know, in the process of Karbanos. The more you think this is just a Gzeres HaKasuv end of story, you know, in the Chabal HaKidusho, because it seems to defy the typical canons and parameters of Yom, On the other hand, it's very tempting to say that Rabbeinu Tam here is acknowledging something which is very compelling, and that is a role for sunset. So, this again, you have to look at the Mefarshim in Zvachim and Menachos, but a lot, the more that you expand, from Dan Nifsal B'Shkia Sachama, the more there's a kind of a more complex acknowledgement, of time having different, phases, even for Rabbeinu Tam. And the same is true with regard to this Raivid. I say, there's even a view in the Magid Mishnah that Magid Mishnah has this view that Raivid held like Rabbeinu Tam. I don't know how compelling that really is, but let's, take the Magid Mishnah, for the moment. In light of that, the idea that or, signifies earlier. Let's assume for the moment, according to the Raivid, that or means shkia, which makes sense. He doesn't say explicitly. Again, it could be it's just tchilas tseis ha-kochavim. If that's what it is, it's more benign. But then there's no chiddush even in the, peayin yom of the melos of a yoledes, frankly. For there to be some chiddush, for the writer to be saying something, because again, if you're talking about bedikas chametz, you could say, well, there's reason or whatever, you should do it at the beginning of the day. We'll talk more about it. But if we're really talking about a changeover in terms of the actual status of the day, this being like a shlav, a stage in the day, right, then there's no chiddush to it if it really means tchilas tseis alone. But this seems to be a debate how to understand this right. So I'm going to go with the more interesting, but I think also the more compelling read of the Raivid, and that is that we're not talking about tchilas tseis. Probably there isn't any or then either. Well, again, it depends on your view of tseis. But, it's shkia, let's assume. So the idea that it's shkia is very shocking in Yoledes and in Nosar. But in a way, it parallels, Rabbeinu Tam's acknowledgement of them, which may be expanded. So the question is, again, what to do, with all of these things. And you certainly have the same phenomenon in other things. In other words, as we said, according to the Urayim, everything is like the opposite. Right? The day ends early, basically. Not late. Night comes early. Yet it does seem to be that certain dinim still depend on, the later periods, maybe even actual tzeis. And the question is, how can that be? So, yeah, just the opposite problem. And in the morning we have, mostly, depends on how you read the Mishnah in Megillah, right? We alluded to it the other day. The Mishnah Megillah says that typically, when you have Chovas Hayom, so then you are supposed to begin Deitz Achama, L'chatkila, and B'tieved, Halos HaShachar is effective as well. So Rashi Alatar explains that the L'chatkila B'tieved is a technicality, as you're concerned that, we're concerned that, you'll make a mistake in the time. And consequently, it's better, to wait a little bit, till Deitz Achama. But fundamentally, the way Rashi understands the Mishnah, there's no real lechatchila, no real status or chalos to Neitz. It's really all about Alos HaShachar. However, Tosis in Yuma, Amid Zayin, Rav points this out, I'm going to talk about the Rav in a minute, in that Yortzeit drasha that he delivered many years ago, that is published. It sounds like Tosis And Yuma thinks that it isn't just a question of Taus or Shemayita, but that Netzach Amo has some real status. And we know this to be the case in certain issues in Dinim. Examples of view that Kriya Shema depends on Netz. The Rambam, you know, when he talks about the Derech Rechoka, which is part of the Sugya in Tzadi Dalid in Psachim, that's where all the, you know, longer Tzeis calculations come from, right? That from Shkia to Tzeis is Dalid Mil. So the Rambam understands in that Sugya, the Rambam has a double Chiddush, but part of his Chiddush is that you calculate in the morning when you're trying to figure out Derech Rechoka from Netz. And a lot of the Achronim were very troubled by this. Right? Shagas Aryeh in particular, in Siman Yud Zayin, says he doesn't understand the Rambam at all. For all Netz is nothing, it should be from Alos, because that's when Yom, you know, begins. Why Netz? But the truth is there are a whole bunch of things Netz. I think I mentioned the other day, it's one of the things the Rambam speaks about a lot, again, because of Shagas Aryeh. The Shagas Aryeh zeroed in on this, you know, Rabbeinu Yonah, you know, in Brachos. There are really two of them. One in the very beginning of the Masechta, and one in the fourth parak. The one in the fourth parak about Tfilas Mincha, that you can daven Mincha only Ad Ha'erev. So Rabbeinu Yonah claims that Ad Ha'erev means Shkia. Right? And the Shagas Aryeh thinks it's totally wrong. He thinks that you can daven till Tzeis. Because for all dinim, Tzeis is Koveya. But Rabbeinu Yonah thinks it's wrong. The same Rabbeinu Yonah, Lishitaso, also thinks that Shkia, you know, is Koveya, you know, already for Schiras Yitzias Mitzrayim Balelos. That Schiras Yitzias Mitzrayim Balelos can take place after Shkia before Tzeis. And again, Shagas Aryeh thinks it's wrong. Because it's a din in Laila. If it's a din in Laila, then it should depend on Tzeis. The Shagas Aryeh actually is very consistent. He's a very consistent thinker in general. So he actually thinks that even Dam Nifsal B'Shkia Sachama doesn't really mean Shkia Sachama. That it means Tzeis. Okay. But the fact is, what I'm really just trying to show is that there are some Rishonim who have complex views. Rabbeinu Tam, the Iraim, most of the ones who have the extreme views are also going to have the complex views. Rabbeinu Tam, the Iraim, Rabbeinu Yonah, the Ravid. And again, the Ravid's view is fascinating no matter what he holds. Because either way, it's even more fascinating if he holds like Rabbeinu Tam. So what is going on? The Rambam. Right, why does the Rambam say that certain dinim depend on Netzach Amo? I mean, they shouldn't. They should depend on Alos. So this is the problem. And the question is, what do you do with all that? So in the end of the day, there are different things you could say. The Rav and his Yahrzeit Drasha really wanted to say that everything is about the clash between these two systems that were already established in Maisa Bereishis, namely Or and Choshech, right, as well as Shemesh V'Yareich. And that already the Rabbeinu Shlomo revealed in the beginning, very beginning of time, you know, that there are these two forces and factors. And then he goes on to try to explain in an interesting, very interesting way, of course, that the Iker Machloka, what he calls the Iker Machlokas between Rabbeinu Tam and the Gra, is kind of an extension of this. Namely, that Rabbeinu Tam thought that mostly everything depends on Or and Choshech, and, you know, kind of downplays, you know, the role of sunset and sunrise, you know, and so on. Whereas the Gra understood that there really are two systems, and that the Gzeres HaKasuv in the context of, you know, Harav Shemesh and Achilas Truma, and so on, really establishes that Nates and Shkia, you know, are also a factor. And maybe they're the Iker factor, or at least a second factor alongside our Oren Choshech in Halachic Dinim. Now again, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but that's how he tries to explain things like Rabbeinu Yonah and Rabbeinu Tam and so on. That's his pshat in Ben Hashmashos. How can Ben Hashmashos, is Ben Hashmashos a real practical suffix? So again, Bali Tosis, in most places, do present it that way. And that's why Bali Tosis assume that you have to be consistent about certain things in Ben Hashmashos. Namely, if you if you do two actions at the same time during Ben Hashmashos, the beginning in both days, the end in both days, whatever it is, then you can say Miman Shach. That's a practical suffix when the transition really took place. But it seems like Rashi and the Rambam, you know, when it comes to some issues, whether it's Isra Malacha B'Shabbos or how you count the minyan in terms of Zav, it seems like with some differences that Rashi and the Rambam sometimes apply the suffix or the mimanafshach of Ben Hashmashos in a way that defies it being a practical, you know, consistent suffix. At which point in the spectrum, you know, did the transition take place? It sounds like sometimes, you know, you can have a total tartar to disastery and still have a suffix, right? Or total tartar to disastery and, or totally a no tartar to disastery and still have a vada, let's say. So, like you did a malacha and Ben Hashmashos, you know, two, you know, Erev and, you know, or two different days, and, Erev and Motzai, and let's say you did it at the same time, or Yudavka didn't do it at the same time, maybe we can all figure out the pratim. But the bigger idea in all of this is that the Bali Tosis, probably most Rishonim, understood Ben Hashmashos to be a practical kind of a suffix, or maybe a halachic suffix in terms of, you know, what factor constitutes a transition from one to the other. But at the end of the day, a consistent one. It's not like there's a tkufa, you know, in which there's a stira of Yom Valayla, or an absence, you know, of both, or absence of both fully. There are different ways to say, even the more fundamental way of Ben Hashmashos. And therefore, they think that, you know, you can apply a very practical yardstick. You know, when did you do it? If you did it all Ben Hashmashos, both days, you're always going to say Miman Shach. And if you did it at the same time, you know, two different days, you're always going to say, you know, Miman Shach, like in the beginning or in the end. Whereas Rashi and the Rambam, you know, maybe go according to the view of the Ritva, who formulates the idea of Ben Hashmashos as kind of a stira. You know, according like the, you know, analogy of the androgynous, you know, which, you know, has a stira of characteristics. So the idea is, what he wanted to suggest is that, you know, if you hold everything is about Or and Choshech, then in Achanami, you know, that's all there is. So, you know, we have a single definition, the transition, and so on. But if you think that there are like two systems in place, either the Gzeres HaKasuv of Achilas Truma, or just Sheish Yesimei Bereishis like itself, so then, you know, you have to figure out, like, which dinim depend on Aron Choshech, and which dinim depend on Shemesh. Especially, you'd say, wanted to explain according to that, that the Gra is more like a Shemesh person, you know, whereas Rabbeinu Tam is more of an Oren Choshech person. But once you're more of a Shemesh person, you can't deny that certainly Dinim certainly depend on Oren Choshech. So what if you have a Stira? Right? That's the Stira of Ben Hashmashos. So by the same token, what you could say is that even outside of Beinah Shemashos, right, in terms of a din vadai, right, there are certain dinim that depend on only one or the other. So the idea that there'll be, you know, dinim that depend, you know, completely on Or v'Choshech, and certain other dinim depend or more on Shech. So you have Neitz dinim and Shkia dinim, and you'll have, you know, Alos dinim and Seis dinim. That's kind of how, you know, he wants to present it. And that's certainly very compelling. That's a compelling idea. So that's how you would explain, let's say, the Ravid and Rabbi Natan and Rabbi Yonah, you know, and all these. The question is, what would be the criterion? So here the Rav has a very interesting suggestion, one of which is pragmatic, which I don't like so much, but I think maybe it's connected to something else. At one point he suggested that, you know, whenever you want to measure things, like, you know, night, day, not the transition from day to night or night to day or a different day, so then you always use the Shemesh model, at least according to the Gra, like, you know, Shel Zmanios, things of that sort. And ever you're talking about, like, the day itself, or full day, or a transition from a day, but there the suggestion is more, because if you're measuring, so you need something that is more objectively discernible, like, you know, the astronomical phenomena, you know, of sunrise and sunset. Okay? But I think that the bigger idea is not so much that practically you need something you should measure, but the bigger idea is something that he alludes to at a different point, and that is what I was saying before. And that is, if you're talking about parts of the day, like, you know, what is yom and what is, you know, what is day and what is a night, as opposed to the change between the two, not the change like, oh, it used to be afternoon, now it's evening, you know, now it's late evening, you know, but the change from one day to the next, that's different than measuring within a day. And the truth is, this is something that the Malbim also kind of alludes to. If you look at the Malbim in the beginning of Bereishis, it's fascinating as a, you know, I have to tell you, Malbim doesn't need my Haskama, but he has these very, you know, fascinating mahalachim, you know, that he presents. So he has two, I think, interesting related points where he talks about the creation of Or and Choshech and, you know, Shemesh, Yoreach, and Kochavim. The first thing, of course, he points out is the truth, and then everybody points out, and that is, there was day and night right before the Shemesh and the Yoreach. And that's also part of the Rav's presentation. It has to be part of everybody's presentation. Vayer vayboker yom echad, yom sheni, yom shlishi. It was only on the fourth day, right, the Shemesh, Yoreach, and Kochavim were either created or began to operate. You know, we'll leave that one. That's a discussion in its own right. So the idea of transition between day and night already took place. So the Malbim has this very fascinating idea where he says that the world had to start with the transition of days being dependent solely on Or and Choshech, and also in a more objective way. Meaning, if the transition, or let's say, even if the Or and Choshech of the world, you know, comes from the sun, right, or the, you know, the rotation of the earth such that it's exposed to or in the shadow of the sun. So the ha'ara that he makes is, well, if that's the case, then, you know, from the Rabbonu Shalom's point of view, or objectively speaking, right, there's no time when it's all or all choshech, right, because in different parts of the world, as we know, that's the reality that we have, right, is that all over the world, you know, the shift between exposure to the sun And the absence of that exposure is constantly changing. So the world, it's like, you know, or in Choshech Barvuvia, but not the way that it's normally explained. In the sense that, you know, depending on where you are, if you're, you know, in Australia or, I guess, South Africa, right? Or, you know, it depends where you are. So what he suggests is that in the beginning of creation, he tries to be medayik this. That's why Yavdel Hashem Beinor Lachoshech, this is fascinating, is that originally they were like 12 hours of light and 12 hours of darkness. This is theory, you know, on the whole world. This is Monday, so I get to, you know, take a little bit of liberty. So there were 12 hours of light and there were 12 hours of darkness in the whole world. And this went on for 3 days. And that established, objectively, right, that there is something called Yom and something called Laila that is even relevant to Sheshes Yimei Breishis, which by definition has to apply to the totality of the world. And so therefore that change was done by Or and Choshech, right? And it was done, you know, in a purely objective way. Then on day 4, in the creation of the when light and was shifted, I guess, to the mechanism of the sun, right? That's when you started getting relative day and relative night, or you had day and night all over the earth. But it had already been established. I guess this has consequences for how you look at, you know, dateline things too. But in the end of the day, you know, the principle of Or and Choshech creating an objective Yom V'Laila for the world and for the Bria, I guess, was already established in whatever that cycle was. Again, I'd be curious to know what the Malbim thinks about. I'm not aware, just because I haven't looked. But I would be curious whether this affects his understanding of dateline questions and issues. But what's also fascinating, two other points that the Malbim makes, which are fascinating and relevant to what we're generally trying to portray, and that is that he suggests that even in those first, you know, few days, when everything was pure Or and pure Choshech, there was still, you know, a lightening and a darkening. In other words, it was still a morning, you know, and an evening, like a creeping, you know, beginning and end of the light. Even though that wasn't necessary, he argues, but it was in fact the case, because the purpose all along was for there to be like a shemesh. And when once there is a shemesh, then you can't go from, you know, dazzling pure light, you know, to pure darkness. You know, and therefore, even though it was necessary to begin the world, you know, with 12 hours or 12 hours Choshech across the whole globe, right, there was still a lightening and a darkening that already anticipated what would be. So I actually like that very much. I don't know whether it's the case, but the Malbim thinks so. It's good enough for me to at least think about. What it shows again in a different way is this kind of dialectic going on between light and darkness, right, and, you know, and the role of the sun shining in both directions. And then he even says something like, at one point, Kedarko, that Laila, right, Yom and Laila are like absolutes and relate to the Or. But Erev and Boker always relate to the sun in some respects. Right. So, to me, again, from the Rav's perspective in all this was that all the spheros and all the complexities come mostly from trying to manage, let's say, both, you know, Or and Choshech, as well as, you know, Shkia and Neitz Hacham. But to me, while I think that is true, I just think it's a little more complicated than that. Either without that or with that, I mean, obviously mostly with that, and in light of the Malbim, I think that the idea that most dinim depend on, again, transition, you know, of one day to the next, Many dinim also depend just on day and night. And in those dinim themselves, there are differences, like the calendar. When we discuss the calendar day and the change of the calendar day, right, that's different than dinim that require that we focus on nighttime or daytime. Right, you know, Kriyas Shema, you know, in Tefillah, our dinim of the day and the night. Kedushas Hayom, you know, is a din, you know, in the previous day and the next day. Like Sfiras HaOmer, you know, presumably is about counting, you know, the next day. It's a malos, counting for Yemei, you know, malos of Yoledes, one would have thought would be about, you know, counting to the next day. Not just, you know, the evening after, you know, the category when it ends. So I think that there are some very, very subtle ideas. For example, just to throw out an interesting parallel, right, this is a major debate among the Rishonim. We'll talk about it hopefully later in the year, about Tosefes, Shabbos, and Yom Tov. You know, what that really affects. Of course, this is not, you know, actually phases of the day. That's more about the halachic ability, right, for you to extend the day or to bring it in earlier. Right? Tosefes kodem in la'achar. But it's a fascinating discussion, A, how effective that is, because in a way, your personal, how you're relating to the day, right, is in conflict objectively with the, you know, stages that are built in. On the other hand, you're supposed to be mosif. If you're supposed to be mosif, so how early can you be mosif from? You know, that's significant. And B, what impact do you have when you're mosif? Is it only chumras? Is it an assay? Do you actually get some of the dinim of the day? And more particularly, do you get, you know, the surim of the day in a literal way? And do you get the ones that depend not only on it being nighttime or the beginning of the chag, but the calendar day? Right? So, for example, this is kind of what Tulsa says in the beginning of Arbei Pesachim. And that is like, you know, one of the reasons that you maybe can't make Kiddush early on the night of the Seder is because, you know, it needs to be Ba'erev. Or maybe because it needs to be Tezvav. Right? That's how some people say Pshat, Yochol mi bod yom, you know, Talmud Yomar ba'yom ahu, Shal she'esh ma'atzav mara menachem lefanecha. That's a fascinating question. I mean, typically you can bring in Shabbos and Yom Tov early. You can make Kiddush, and it's Shabbos. You say Tefillah Shabbos, Tefillah Yom Tov. Rav Matzli Shal Shabbos, Be'erev Shabbos, Motzai Shabbos too, which is an interesting phenomenon. So the point I'm trying to make is, you can bring in Erev or not. Or you can just bring in Kedushas Hayom. Can you bring in Yom Tezvav? Right? So, for example, the Marshal and the Taz is this famous debate about Shmini Atzeres. Because, you know, Shmini Atzeres and Sukkos are fundamentally Tartan Sasri. So if you were to be Mosif, you know, Michal HaKodesh, you know, what would happen to the Sukkos part? Like, can you be Mosif at the expense of objectively the requirements of a previous day? Typically, you don't have that. It's usually, you know, you have a chalos and a vacuum. So that's a debate between the Marshal. The Taz says, what's the big deal? That's what Tosefes is. And the Marshal says, don't do it, because it's a problem. The same Taz was of the opinion that, you know, you can say Sfiras HaOmer. If you're Mekabel Shabbos early, you can say Sfiras HaOmer early. Most people don't accept that. Marshal certainly didn't. Because that's, of course, a little different. That's not even, you know, it's Yom whatever vis-a-vis, you know, the, let's say it's Yom Tezvav, like in a Yontif. It's Yom Tezvav, it's Yom, you know, Vav Sivan. You're making Vav Sivan early. Can you make Vav Sivan early? Even if you can make Vav Sivan early and Tezvav Nisan early, or their Ba'erevs early, or even their calendar dates early, does it stand to reason that you can, Shabbos happens to be on the, you know, the 26th day of the Omer, you know, but every year, you know, different days of the week are in different days of the Omer. So just because you're Mekabel Shabbos early, you know, so that doesn't mean it's the next day of the calendar or the next day in the Omer. So this, all I'm trying to demonstrate, I'm not trying to make things worse, I hope I'm not. What I'm trying to say is that in the world of halacha, there are different, and I think this is what the Malbim's getting at and what the Rav's getting at, you know, sometimes we care about the transition to the next day or out of the previous day. Sometimes we care about Erev. Sometimes we depend on, you know, the next calendar day. You know, the next calendar day for what? So just like Tosefta Tzion, though, that's an interesting issue. So too, like, which of these things are defined by, you know, the Shemesh and by the Or? So that's the whole approach. What I would add is, with all of that, but maybe there's also those categories themselves. That this is what I was alluding to the other day. In other words, sometimes we need, you know, Yom, but there's no stira between Yom and a little bit of Laila. Or sometimes we need, you know, only Yom, and then any Shemets of Laila. You know, and the same thing with Or and Choshech. So the idea that there could be, like, fundamentally, okay, we know what the transitions are and what Yom and Laila is, but that there are certain dinim that, oh, anticipate the next day, or they're the end of the previous day, or they're mitzuraf already to the next day. So the idea, like plaga mincha, you know, is like, oh, it's the end of the day already, or it's already anticipating the next day. Or the idea that, you know, Netzachama is a better boker. You know, and maybe Tseis, you know, is Laila, you know, but that Shkia is already, you know, Erev. Or that Beit Arbayim in some respects, you know, splits up the day or is already looking forward, you know, to the end of this day, if not the beginning of the next day. So even in addition to the conflict between Or and Shemesh, and the question of you, whether you need one thing exclusively or just some aspect and dimension of it, even if it coexists, there's also this question of regions of the day or zones, right, that constitute, you know, an end that are looking backwards or that are looking forward. And I think if that explains or accounts for a lot of the complexity in these issues. Okay, so that's number one big thing I wanted to say. I'm going to start calling on people in just a minute. Okay.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Is it coincidental that if we're looking at Rabbeinu Tam, we're assuming that the Rav is within Rabbeinu Tam, all the examples of the cases relate to Kachim and Karbonos?
Possibly not. Possibly
not.
Which
is a location where time is always different because
I mean, like Hayom, whether Laila or Hayom. Yeah, so that is another possibility. Natan, I'll report it, is suggesting until we get our technology, you know, improved, which we're looking forward to. Natan's wondering whether or not Kachim doesn't just represent a different category. Certainly for Dam, Nifsal, Mishkiya, Sachama, and maybe some of the Raivit things also, except for B'dikas Chametz, of course, in the Raivit. But, you know, in terms of Karbonos, Yoledes, Nosar, so I do think that is a very fruitful idea. And that is connected to the idea that typically, Vayera Vayivoker, right, is, you know, Hayom Holech Achra Laila. But we know that when it comes to the world of Kachin, that halayla holecha hayom. Now, how expansive that is, like which dinim of kachim that applies to, or whether it applies more, the Gemara to have, I mean, maybe it would apply to tefilas if tefilas keneged karbonos tiknum sugis and brachos. But the idea that, you know, that the world of kachim, you know, either you know, is more flexible or less flexible, more absolute, less absolute, more tied to the sun, you know, more tied to the light, that is certainly a very distinct possibility. Okay, for the Rebbe, it doesn't explain Bedika, but it does explain other things. I think that to explain the Rebbe, we'll get back to this, but when we talk about the actual Zmana Bedika, the debate, but another possibility to explain the Rebbe with regard to Bedika goes back to the Feinayim, and I think the Gra, and that is, if the idea of Bedika is that he has to be Meshumar, right, completely from Leil Yodaled, then in order to, you know, you have to have like a, you know, bookends, right? You have to start early. For it to be Meshumar, you know, you can't wait till Tzeis. Because Tchilas Tzeis is already a violation, right? It has to be done, and it's a Shmira thing. It's a way of securing like a certain time zone, you know, from the pernicious presence of the Chametz. So the idea that, you know, pushes you back to the last moment of yesterday, or, you know, even the alternative Hagdara, you know, of Erev, even if it isn't exactly Lila or a new day, but it still has some status, makes a great deal of sense also. But yeah, I do think that the Kachim part is also possibly a factor. Okay, so that's I wanted to say with the Rav and the Malbim. The Rav's piece is one that's, of course, it's printed in the Shiur of the Zecher Abba Mari. And he talks about the Raivin also. Talks about Ben Yonah, the Raivin. Talks about a lot of things. Doesn't say so much about the Raivin, but he definitely sees it as one of the issues, one of the problems. He does point out that the Gra, in general, and I'm just going to mention this because it fits in with something that we also were discussing, and that is that the Gra's view, interestingly, is that night depends on Shemesh, mostly. I mean, like the Gonim, in other words, against Rabbeinu Tam. And they proceed, and the Rav argues that Rabbi Yehuda's view of Ben Hashmashos is also a din in Shemesh in the end of the day. It's just that instead of where the Shemesh, should say, you know, begins to, you know, disappear on the horizon, so it's a couple of degrees lower when it's more nikar and also affects the rays of the Shemesh. But, you know, that's his argument for Rabbi Yehuda. But that what is curious is there seems to be an inequality between the morning, you know, and the evening. And that's something that we already pointed to in the Gemara. Right? We pointed out that the Gemara has a Havamina, that Yom, this Kol HaMe'eru Ba is already Yom, right? And that, of course, is already at Elos HaShachar, even before Netzach Hama. But then the Gemara says, but if you say that, so then the same pasuk should have to be interpreted as saying, you know, Kishin Machshich Uba. But Machshich Uba would be Shkia, not Tzeis. Right? But the fact is, so the Gemara says, well, you know, that would not work well with the Tzeis idea. But at the end of the day, the Gra himself does seem to say that Alos is Koveya for Boker. I mean, you can't deny that. Whereas mostly Shkia, or the extended Shkia, if you will, is Koveya for Laila. So while in the Gemara, maybe, you know, that doesn't help you so much, or that echo, which I mentioned the other day, which is, you know, maybe it's a drasha problem, but it sounds like a logical problem we don't have with that. Maybe that the morning could depend on Or, right? Even the vestiges of Or, and yet the evening could depend on Shkias Achama. So that really does seem mostly to be the view of the Gra. The Rav just points out in his analysis that that's one reading of the Yerushalmi. If you look at the Yerushalmi in Brachos, Aleph Aleph, it seems like the Yerushalmi is suggesting such a thing to make this distinction. Either way, it's interesting, this he also points out, that there's a Bein HaShmashos, right? There's a twilight, especially if you understand that to be a stira, what I call the Brisker Bein HaShmashos, I guess you could call it the Ritva's Bein HaShmashos, or implicit in some of the Rishonim. While there's a Bein HaShmashos for the transition, you know, from the end of the day to the beginning of the next, or from day to night, depending on your point of view, right? There is no parallel Bein HaShmashos between Alos HaShachar and Nates. I mean, some dinim depend on one, most dinim depend on Alos, some dinim depend on Nates. Maybe that's even a breakdown on a Doraisa and a Chalos level, right? But there's no Bein HaShmashos. Even though, again, you do have, I guess the closest you have to expressions of that is the Gemara when it talks about, you know, Kriya Shema, you know, discussing in the beginning of Brachos, you know, can you say two Kriya Shemas, you know, like in the same, for Alos, one for the night, you know, and one for the day. You know, so there you get kind of a little bit of a tricky expression of this. But either way, what emerges certainly is this broader picture, which I want to put in, you know, kind of not just Shemesh and Or, although I think it's part of it, but this idea of again, pure parts of the day, transitions of the day, calendar days, regions connected to certain parts of the day, etc. Okay, any questions on that before we... I'm just going to make one other Ha'ara, just part of that, and then we want to move on to the next point. Any questions either in the room or on the screen? Natana, go ahead.
Just a quick question. I don't know if everyone's pointing to that, but Shos Manios, why are Shos Manios, like for the Grub, who let's say thinks it's from... He thinks it starts from Nates, even though the day may start from Alos.
Yeah. So again, the Rav thinks that... He doesn't talk about Shos Manios in that piece, I don't recall. At least I don't think he does. But I think his general idea was that whenever you're talking about like measuring things, you know, like Shiurim, he thought that always depends on Shemesh. He thought because it was more Meduyak. I think, because again, it's... Shos Manios isn't a phase or a stage in the day, right? It's the way I'm saying it, but I think is what he meant. It's like the distribution of the day. You know what I mean? So that is something that depends on, you know, the Shemesh. For the same reason that, like, Erev and Boker, you know, when you need, like, a real Boker or something like that, not just the earliest. So I think, you know, that's the division of the day, how you distribute the day, right, into Shos, as opposed to a particular point, the beginning point, end point, you know, the terminal point, the beginning point, you know, or transition points, you know, within the day or from one day to another. So I think that's what you would say. Okay. Any other questions on either on Zoom or in the room? The room. Can everybody hear me or not? Mostly. Seems like. Okay. The first two thirds of the room can certainly hear me. Okay. And the rest of you, I apologize, but we are going to. Avrami's going to storm the REITs office. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally. Wouldn't you be scared if Avrami was about to storm? Yeah, it'd be nice to them. They need them. But it's still unconscionable that they haven't. Okay. One other point, and connected to this, and that is with regard to, Rashi. So it's interesting that some of the Achronim point out on Beis Amid Aleph, and, you know, being Yotze Bikitov and being Nichnas Bikitov. Yeah, it's not the most rigorous sugya, probably. We discuss whether it's a Mazika Malacha or it's a, you know, a Pachad Mipnea Ganovim or Listim or, you know, Chayos Ro'os. Again, I don't want to get into all of that right now. But it is fascinating that Rashi talks there about Nates. According to Rashi, it's Nates. And Tosfos in other places says that it's a los. Right? The Rashi here on Beis Amud Aleph. Second. Am I right or am I wrong? Even where Rashi says, Hayotze l'derech ikanes arvis l'beis malon, va'od achama zarachas. V'lemach ha'yamtin ad neitz achama, v'yetze. Va'oz tovlo. Right? This is a hagdara of or. So if you look at the Rashash, Al-Attar, he points us out, he's troubled by it. He refers you to the Marsha in other places, and he contrasts it with Tosis in other places. He says it refers to a los, or palitzes. So again, this is and then he actually makes reference to Rashi and Megillah, which I assume he invokes in order to emphasize that this is a problem. I mean, Rashi seems to say everything begins at Elos. Everything begins at Elos. And the only reason we ever bring, you know, the only reason we delay things till Nates is because we want to preclude mistakes. So, again, that's an interesting phenomenon. Once again, I think Rashi is consistent in this. Rashi seems to think that Nates is a chalos, and that, you know, it has more significance. So we have this also here on Beis Amud Beis with regard to the next sugya that we're interested in, and that is the sugya of Isar Malacha. Okay. I'm not going to call on the Zoom people to read for the moment. Oh, actually, you're saying either way, there's a deficit, right? Neither group can hear or see the other. Ah. Okay. So I guess we'll switch off. Tuvia? Good. I've been calling Tuvia the wrong name because he's built a little bit, but I'm trying to correct him. Okay, Tuvia, go ahead. So let's talk about the Gemara based on the base. Go ahead. Oh, 1 second. So what is this? Meimasai arbasar also basias malach. What is that? Yeah, what does Rashi say? Right, so Rashi says this refers, we're reading the Gemara here, just for the people on Zoom. We'll try to keep you up, I'll be the mature Gemara in a little bit. We're reading the Gemara here on Beis Amud Beis. Right, Meimasai arbasa osur basias malacha. Okay? So the background for that is two Mishnayos, which we're going to read in a minute, in Mokom Shenog. Correct? In the fourth parak of Psachim, which discuss whether or not there's a isur to do malacha on Yud Dalid Nisan, right before Chatzos, after Chatzos, right as the case may be. Okay, good. So go ahead. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said Bishas Ha'or, which is what it's doing here, right? And Rabbi Yehuda says Mishas on Netzachama. Right? Okay. So already this Netzachama is troublesome. Right? Because typically everything depends on Alos. Okay, so what's the... you're on the computer, right? Can you guys hear? What's that?
Are you on Zoom? You're on Zoom. Just unmute yourself.
Can you all hear him reading? You should be able to. Oh, Moshe's there. Hey, Moshe, you're not here. I was wearing a mask before when I came in. Okay. Yeah. So what is the story with the Nates? Oh, no, Nates is certainly post-Alos. Okay, so you have... Okay, let's first read through, then we'll take it one by one. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said Mishas Aor. Rabbi Yehuda said Mishas Neitz Achama. Go ahead. Amalei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Okay, great. So, very interesting Shakla Vatari, correct? Okay, so just on the Alos, Nate's point, so the Maskana of the Gemara is that there's a debate between, what is it, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, whether Isur Malacha begins at Or, which is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that's Alos, right? Or it only begins at Nates. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's taina against Rabbi Yehuda is what? Heichan Matzinu, the what?
That
you divide in the day. So originally the Gemara would have thought that Or meant night. You know, thought that meant how can you split between the night and the day? Right? Or he was saying, whatever, okay. How can you split, you know, between the night and the day? And now we're saying, no, it's not the night and the day. It's Nates, right? And Alos, correct? So he says, how can you split during the day? He meant the split between Alos and Nates, correct? So actually that's very relevant to what we were discussing just a couple of minutes ago. So it's interesting to note that, what is the significance of Nates here? So what is Rashi saying? Not much, really, but... It doesn't really tell us, right? Kind of leads it to our imagination, why this should depend on Nates. Correct? What did Tosa say? No, I'm not. We'll get to the Malacha part in a minute. That's the main point. But what is Tosa's view of the significance of Nates here? Yeah, read Tosas, the one. Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov omer mishas ha'or. Yeah. So what does Tosa say, basically? Tuvia? Say again? The work day. Okay, so basically Nates is not significant here as a din and yom, right? It's just a practical thing. If we're talking about Isra Malacha, right, so, you know, it's defined by the work day, by what happens to be the work day. Right? Okay. But is it possible that this is another expression, right, of like a phase or a stage, you know, in the day itself, right? Again, I mentioned that the, you know, Shagas Aryeh is very upset with the Rambam. They're defining Derech Rechoka, you know, he begins with Nates, and not with Alos HaShachar. Okay? So that's kind of, if this was a more fundamental category, right, then maybe that's a good makor in a way. Right? Of course, we'll see, we'll discuss that in a minute, if they're connected, you know, or not. Okay, either way, there's a bigger question here that you want to discuss. And that is the Machlokas Rashi and Tosis. Namely, Rashi says that the Isra Malacha that we're talking about is what? The Minach. And this goes to back to the Mishnah in the beginning of, what are the two Mishnayas? Let's look at them for just a minute, if we can just get them on the record. Nun Amud Aleph and Nun Hey Amud Aleph. Go ahead. Mogam Shinogu, the first one in the Perek. Of course, the second part of the Mishnah, the question of what happens when you have a discrepancy between Mahagim in different places, is the basis for the whole discussion about Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galus. Right? Not in the Gemara, but already in the Rishonim and in the Shulchan Aruch, and then the Chacham Tzvi kind of turned everything on its head and basically argued that it shouldn't be connected to that issue at all. But that we'll leave for another time. The first part of the Mishnah basically establishes that there's a machlokas, I'm sorry, machlokas, there are different minhagim about malacha on Erev Pesach ad chatzos. The implication being that after chatzos, everybody agrees it's awesome. But it's not clear in the Mishnah, let's just make clear it's not clear in the Mishnah whether that's Doraisa or Drabana, or what the nature of that is. So we'll get back to that in a minute. It's also not clear what the nature of this minag is. I mean, was this minag an extension of the din of chatzos, or is it a din b'fnei atzmo? Are there two different bases for Isra Malacha on Erev Pesach? Right, one a minug and one a din? Or is the minug to extend what you have later, even earlier? So we need to understand, you know, the after chatzos halacha, right? And, you know, separately, we also need to explain the pre chatzos halacha. Then later on, you have the second Mishnah, but we'll go discuss some of the Gemara later on, but you have the Mishnah Nun Hei Amud Aleph. Go ahead, what's that? Okay, so what is that? It sounds like in the beginning the Mishnah is telling you this, that there was a breakdown between Yehuda and Galil regarding the minhag of Isra Malacha. Right? That's what it sounds like. And then at the end of the Mishnah says that as for not that, that Beit Shammai actually prohibited Malacha even Ba'erev, and that wasn't a minug, it sounds like Osrim. Right? And Beis Hillel were Matirin That's where this comes from. Ad haneitz hacham. Right? And after neitz was an isur or minag? So what does the Gemara say about that? Let's read the Gemara very quickly. And nun heyam and aleph. Mikara tana minaga. I mean, who cares if it's all a minag? Then there's no yichus to quoting Bnei Galim. I mean, it's an interesting fact, but has no halakhic consequence. Okay, go ahead. Oh, so that Rabbi Yehuda held that, in other words, that the Isser in the morning is an Isser, not a minag. Go ahead. Masias Malacha, Vatanya. Okay, so basically you have this argument. There's a view in the Mishnah that says that everybody agrees that what comes out of this is everybody agrees that after Chatzos there's an Isra Malacha on Erev Chagamatos, right after Chatzos. We'll see in a moment whether it's Arais or Drabana. And there's a view that says that there's an only, that there's there are different minhagim about the morning of Yadalad, correct? Then there's the view that the morning of Yadalad is also an Isar, correct? And then you have the debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether or not even at night there's an Isar, correct? So what are all these different, you know, stages, number one, as well as like the nature of the Isra Malacha, right, in each case? That's a question. So that's a puzzle. We're not going to be able to finish this table until hopefully finish on Thursday. So make sure you go through the Gemara and also the Gemara Nun and the Gemara Nun He and the next Mishnah and Gemara just to understand what's going on and to see in the Rishon. Let's pose the question, though, in the following way. The Gemara here, right, also has this fascinating... So number one, we already discussed, like, what's this, you know, idea of Neitz Hacham, right? That's a pragmatic thing about, you know, when people go to work, right? Or it's something more, okay? That's an issue. Then the Gemara has this notion here, where the Gemara says, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, right, turned to Rav Yehuda, and he said, Heichon Matzinu, right, a yom, which is Miktas Asur and Miktas Mutter, right? And he had this interesting exchange with him. He said, oh, but what about Achilek, right, with regard to Chametz? Then the Gemara itself Neima Iula Nafshe, right, Ha'ikad Laila. So what's fascinating is an interesting exchange between an interesting exchange in the Rishon. Right? Rashi says that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov's halacha, or the debate between Rav Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda, is about the minhag. Right? And Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says it's the Isser. So did you see Rav David Bonfield? Rav David Bonfield wants to bring a raya. At what? that it must be an Isur, because if it was only a Minog, then what? Is that? You see it? Avrami? Oh, you haven't seen the David yet? If it was only a Minog, then the question would rebound on himself. Because Heichan Matzinu, that something is Osir after Chatzos. Right? And it's Mutter, if not for a Minog, you know, before Chatzos. Nobody saw it? Bill David? The Ishafar Shtai Tanoi, Sfiru Lashar Basar, Osir B'chol Mako. Shimata Omer Shoblaz ben Yaakov in Osel b'makom shelo nagu. V'umoda shemin adin in Osel b'chatzos l'mala. V'ka'amar echa matzinu yom. Shemiktsasa Osel b'atziyas melachem miktsasa mutter. Hu atzmo yochiach. From David saying, if you hold like Rashi, then how is he turning and saying, how do you split between Alos and Nates? What about he himself, who is splitting excuse me, between Chatzos and the morning? Therefore, it must be that he is of the opinion that it's not a Minog, but an Iser. Okay, what's the assumption of the question? Or at least one assumption of the question? Or two assumptions, let's say, at least. One is that if the morning is a minhag, right, and the afternoon is an Isur, then this question is relevant. Because there are two different bases for Isur Melacha, they have nothing to do with each other. But if you assume that the morning is Osir as well, then he is inoculated from this question. Why is that so? Jonathan? Crane?
Not sure.
Romy?
I'm also not sure.
So you don't think it's a very good question? Well, you're in good company. I mean, the Chidush Aran doesn't think it's such a good question. Well, the Reb David will give an answer himself in a second. But the Chidush Aran asks this very question, even though he holds this way. Now, the Chidush Aran, like Tosas, like Rabbeinu David, concludes that there is an Iser Melacha, right? Midin, Midina. In other words, it isn't just a Minog in the morning. And he still asks the question, how come the question of Rabbi Elazar Yaakov isn't a question that rebounds on himself? Okay? Obviously, the Chidush Aran assumes that just because the morning and the afternoon are also b'malacha doesn't mean it's the same din. Right? Because everybody agrees in the afternoon that there's an Isur. And in the morning there's a debate. Does the fact that there is a debate reflect on the Isur Malacha of the morning and its relationship to the afternoon? That's really the point I'm trying to bring out. Although Rabbeinu David is kind of working in the other direction. Rabbeinu David is saying, let me make it clear. There's a debate between Rabbeinu David and the Ram. If you hold that there's an Isur Melacha on the morning of Yudalid, right, in addition to the consensus agreed upon Isur Melacha on the Chatzos in the afternoon, right, does that inoculate you from the question Heichan Matzinu or not? The Ram thinks no. And Rabbeinu David thinks, yes, And therefore, it's a raya to the view of Tosas against Rashi. What will the Ran say? Or what will anybody's, you know, what will Rashi answer? Might be the same thing. Even if you say, you know, that isn't the difference maker. Meaning there's an Easter in the morning, there's an Easter in the afternoon, but they're unrelated to each other. So it's still Heichan Matzinu. Right? Rabbeinu David himself obviously didn't think that. So what does it mean that he thought at this point that the Isra Malacha of the morning according to the Mandama that it's Osir is the same as the Isra Malacha in the afternoon? Okay, that's an interesting argument. What's more fascinating, or equally fascinating, is Rabbeinu David's answer. Eitan, what's his answer? According to the Mandamar, that it's a minhag. It's that really? He says the efshar to answer this question. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov lo amar le b'makom shelo nagu lasos. The high de lo amar hu atzmo yochiach. Mibnei sheilu shenagu shenagu iser biatzman rotzu lasoso yom tov. The kim shekain the efshar shein lahem miktsaso aser miktsaso mutar. Okay. So this is Rabbeinu David. Says something somewhat sensational, but again, somewhat controversial. And that is that even if there's an Isser, even if you hold that the issue is Minug, right, what that means is it applies the whole day. Because the Minug that you apply in the morning, right, ends up extending the whole day. So basically, there are two things going on at the same time. There's an Isser Malacha based on an early Kabbalah Yom Tov. Fascinating. You could be Mekabel Yom Tov, even through a Minug, in a meaningful way, so early? Haidel Omar Hu Atzmicha. She'ilu Shenogu Atzma, Isser Ba'atzman, Rotsu La'soso Yom Tov. The Kivin Shekain, Iafshar Shehilahim, Miktsasa, Asa, Miktsasa, Mutar. So basically, Rabbeinu David is suggesting that if you, two things. Either if you hold that Isser, the first view is that the Isser of the morning would integrate with the Isser of the afternoon. The second view is that the Isser of the morning, ironically, B'toras Minag is something which also affects the whole day. And he's identifying two different types of Isser Malacha. Isser Malacha, which is Noveya from involvement with the Karban, as opposed to Isser Malacha making this a day of Yom Tov. Now he means making it a day of Yom Tov based on the Minag, or he means being Mekabel Yom Tezvav, meaning Chag HaMatzos, early. What do you think? You know that? Zach? It sounds like he thinks that what you want to do here is Ratzu la'soso yom tov. Nobody wants to make what happens on the night of Tezvav, on the morning of Yudalid, but he wants to make the day of Yudalid into a yom tov. Correct? So this is to sum up for a minute before we... I'm going to stop in a minute for Mincha, but what we have is, so far, we have an interesting question here. And that is the question of how do you understand what we're really asking, what I really care about, is how do you understand the Isur Malacha after Chatzos? And how do you understand the Isur Malacha Lifnei Chatzos? Right? And I think, you know, in both cases, we're interested to know what their relationship is. Right? Do they integrate? Are they a whole? You know, is it an extension of the same thing or not? Does it matter if it's based on minog or it's based on an objective iser? Does that factor into it? But more particularly, what is the nature of this iser malacha? Like Rabbeinu David is giving us two models. One model is that, again, maybe it's only limited to the minog, right? But still very far-reaching and fascinating. And that is, the minog was to treat the day of the bringing of the Korban Pesach as a Yom Tov. What? I'll just highlight it in a slightly different way. I think I told you to look at the Rashash. Yeah? So, Tani, you got a chance to look at the Rashash?
Not there yet.
Didn't get there yet? Okay. Let's see. Akiva Cooper.
I didn't have a chance to get it either.
Oh, okay. Well, you're going to get a day, I guess, a day off tomorrow because I can't be in, but... Gavi? Anybody see the Rosh Hash? Gavi?
Yeah, I'm not so sure I fully understood, but I thought there was the first part where he said that assuming that it's a Doraisa, that the Iser Akhatzos is Doraisa, then perhaps the Iser beforehand is a separate thing altogether. But then he brings in a Haran sheet where he says,
yeah. So what bothered the Rosh Hash? Do you have a line? Do you have a line? You're 100% right. What bothered the Rosh Hash is that the Gemara ends up saying, well, isn't even Achilek itself, you know, the Gemara says, oh, that's a Didaraisa. Then the Gemara says, yeah, but what about the fact that you are Oser, B'Shachamishis, B'Shachishis? Right? So the Gemara says about that, that's a harchaka. Correct? What does it say? How does it go here? Right? Shapra Kabbale, right? The Adhacha Asa Rachmana, the Adhacha Shah Rachmana, Iduk Shoz Rabbanan, Iduk Harkaka Hu Da'avud Rabbanan the Doraisa. Right? So the Rashash wants to know, Mark, maybe that's the Pshat, sorry, maybe that's the Pshat in the Isur Malacha Kodem Chatzos. Second. Oh, the old-fashioned Gemaras? Or they're not? No, they're not. Okay. It is an old-fashioned Gemara? Not so old-fashioned. No, I'm just trying to figure out whether they have separately the Rosh Hash, or they bundle all this stuff together. Here. One second. Yeah, no, they bundle it together here. Pirsh Rashi, Avlisa Zeh, Kula Drabana. The Sefer, I don't know who that is. Hiksha, the Lekaman, Resh Perek, Makam Shinagu, Kasa Tos B'Shem Yerushalmi, Nachem Chatzos also in Daraisa. Hinei Kavanas HaGemari Yesh Lefarish during the Ratz Alomer Dekan Al Kochach Enu Mishum Archaka Kamo Gabe Chametz Dimkein Lohay Olehem Lesor Zman Godol Kokach Mikodem Me'anei Tzachama Yesh Lechavin Gam Loshen Rashi Lazeh O the sphere lay the Yerushalmi in Omer Latzmachta, Kamash Kasaran, right? Or maybe it's Lashitaso, right? The Leisla Hid Yerushalmi. It's only Drabanan. So basically, the Rashash wanted to know, why don't you say that the Iser Malacha Kodem Chatzos is a harchaka of the Iser Lachar Chatzos? The answer is either because it's too early, you're not going to make a harchaka from Chatzos all the way to Netzachama, right? Or, you know, that Yerushalmi, which would be the harchaka, you're going to be marchik from the Daraisa, so the Yerushalmi doesn't really mean it's Daraisa, but we don't paskin like that Yerushalmi in the Babli. Etc. All things we have to discuss. So therefore, it's probably not a harchaka. What do I care? The Rashash is raising our consciousness. We're all trying to figure out here what is the nature of these two Isur Drabanans, or these two Isurim, let me say that. Right? What are they? Mativam shel Isurim Eil. And that question has several components, and that's what I want to finish with on Thursday. What's Doraisa and what's Drabanan and what's a minhag? And are they, is it a harchaka? Are they the same? Well, what is this? I mean, the one that seems to be the most mevusas is after Chatzos, because there's no debate about that. So what is that? What do you mean? So Tosus quotes Yerushalmi saying that this is a din in the Korban. But if you look at the language of the Yerushalmi and of Tosis, you know, it sounds like it's a bit of a universal din. Like, well, you know, when you bring a korban tamid, would everybody in Klal Yisrael have to also do and have, be involved in an Isur Malacha? If not for Bitul Parnasa? Is that all it is, or it's more than that? Right? Okay. So the bigger one to figure out whether it's Doraisa and what it is certainly after Chatzos. And to figure out whether it's something big or small. Maybe it's just, you know, Tirda, maybe it's just a Din Drabanan, even if it is a Din Doraisa, maybe it's something universal about Korbanos. Would it apply Shalom Bezman Korbanos? Right? Or is it possible that what the Yerushalmi has in mind, or extending from the Yerushalmi, is that there's a bigger idea, and that is that there's an Isur Malacha during the Zman of Akrabas Korban Pesach, because, this is one of the things I'm going to try to show, that the Korban Pesach is not merely a Korban that you bring on Yom Yadalid and that you eat on the night of Tezman, but that the hakrava of the Korban Pesach, and maybe even the Yom, right, Shabo, you know, Mevi'im, the Makrivin Korban Pesach, has a certain status. That's one of the things that we need to think about in general throughout the Masechta, and the first time it comes up is right here. And our base on the base. Right. So whether what we need to figure out is whether we could say something like what Rab David Bonfield says about the Kabbalah, right, Shal Minhag of Lifnei Chatzos, whether we can say that even on a Daraisa level, or even if it only ends up being a Din D'Rabbanan, but that it kind of clues in to a Din Doraisa, either after Chatzos or the whole day. Meaning, Does the fact that this is Yom HaKrovas Korban Pesach, does that make this a kind of a quasi Yom Tov? Certainly it's not a regular Yom Tov. And if so, again, the first part, the second part, even the night part, how does that work? So getting back to, I mentioned the Rambam already, you know, that the Hadara of Derech Rechoka is defined by Netzach Chama, and not by Los HaShachar, and that's something that troubled the Achronim greatly. Chagas Aryeh, others as well. Right? And now we're trying to figure out, right, what is the nature of Isra Malacha that according to Beis Shammai begins the night before? And when? You know? At Shkia? Like the Ravid? Like the Bedika? At Seis? Okay, but at least according to Blazer ben Yaakov, begins at, you know, Alos HaShachar, on the day. Right? And according to, fascinating, Rabbi Yehuda, begins at Netzach Chama. That same time that the Rambam, look at that Rambam, in Hilchos Korban Pesach. Was it Hetes, I think? Right? This says is the period that was Magdir, Derech Rechoka. Is all this a coincidence? Or maybe it's an indicator that the day of bringing the Korban Pesach is already a kind of quasi Yom Tov. Okay? So actually, I'll give you some, maybe I'll send in some Marmakomos so we can finish up Thursday. Again, this is a massive topic. We're not going to do it so much. But look at the Rishonim again, the language of the Gemara about comparing Malacha, Erev Yom Tov generally, and Erev Shabbos as opposed to Pesach or Erev Chagamatos, the language of the Gemara. Of course, the Rambam. The question of being Mafsik, you know, other things that Mishnah Nun Hei. You know, look carefully at these Mishnahs and Gemaras, look carefully at the Rambam. But look also at the question in the Rishonim. What happens Shelo Bizman Korban Pesach? Is it still an Iser Malacha Achar Chatzos? And if so, is it just Zecher L'Korban? Or Shema Yibane HaMikdash? Or is it something more than that? Balamor, Mechamos, the Ravid, Tosis, of course. Okay? So I just want to basically examine, make note of the fact that the Torah speaks about Korban Pesach, right, in two slightly different ways. One in Emor, and one in Pinchas. Look at that. If you get a chance, look at the Netziv, Hamek Dabar in Emor. And the Gra, very famous Gra, I always like to quote, in Yoredeya, what is it? Shin Pei, yes. Shin Sadi Gimel? Shin Sadi Tes? Yeah, just look at that Gra, it's a famous Gra. The Gra, the issue of the Gra is the discussion if a person is an Avel, like when does he end, when does he terminate his Avelos before Chagamatos? At Chatzos? Or as late as possible during the day. So the Rama says that it's at Chatzos. The Shach attacks it, and the Gra defends it. Okay? And also look at the Rabbeinu Chananel on the Sugya, what is it, Tzadi? You know, I'll send in a couple of specific Marmakomos, also just to highlight part. But what we're trying to figure out is the relationship between Lifnei Lacha Chatzos of Isra Malacha, but more importantly, whether or not there's a Yom Tov type din here, better if it's Doraisa, but even if it's Drabanan, that might be significant, whether it's Lifnei or La'achar Chatzos, and whether or not Isra Malacha connected to Korban Pesach itself isn't the kind of Yom Tov Isra Malacha. Because those are the things I want to figure out. Very briefly, again, this is a a drive-by. The real work is in, you know, the kachin parts of Pesachim later on. But at least to have appreciation, because that will help us also tremendously to understand what Achilek is for Chametz, why Korban Pesach plays such a prominent role in Isur Shehiyah, maybe Bal Yiroah, Kashbisu, etc. Okay, I mean, the big idea I'm really going to try to convey is the idea that the Korban Pesach also generates a quasi Yom Tov, and that that is not disconnected from the fact that this is also the bridge to Chag HaMatzos. Okay? So that's what I want to speak about briefly, but probably that'll take Thursday, and then keep going. I want to keep going just to finish up some of the other smaller topics until we can get to Socher Maskir on Dalid Amud Aleph, hopefully in the next couple of days. Okay. And I hope we'll have the...